Fantastic Beasts and How to Find Them. Written by Lullaby Nell. Read by Opal Song. Part 12 of As Green as a Fresh Pickled Toad series. Summary. Goodness gracious, where did people think magical blood came from in the first place? The term mudblood? And if you want to call a pure elf or fae a creature or a beast, then it was a good idea to dig your own grave first. Author's notes. This was inspired by Guinevere Weasley on Tumblr, who wrote, "Listen, secret magical creature heritage AUs may be cliche and overused, but they are my jam!" And then wrote, "You can't tell me Luna didn't have some sort of fae background, or Parseltongue didn't come from the Nagas, or the Malfoys didn't have Vila blood, or the Weasleys didn't come from fire sprites, or the Pervell brothers weren't necromancers. Because I assure you, this is 100% canon. Fight me." This is me, agreeing. What are you even suggesting? This is totally canon. Anyone who wants to get to you will have to fight me first. Bring it. It's fairly obvious if you know what to look for. Unfortunately, so few people do, not realizing that person does not necessarily mean human. But perhaps this is inevitable, given that most non-humans are dead, elsewhere, or intensely and viciously private nowadays. A younger humankind would have laughed at the idea of pure blood. If anyone human-shaped was pure, then it was purely non-magical humans. Mudmen, many non-humans affectionately called the tenacious people. Goodness gracious, where did people think magical blood came from in the first place? The term mudblood. And if you wanted to call a pure elf or fae a creature or a beast, then it was a good idea to dig your own grave first. Save everyone else the trouble. But that was then, and this is now. Now you must often watch closely. Lucius Malfoy, for example, is not a terrifyingly difficult puzzle. One only has to look up the family tree to find their French origins and relation to many prominent Vila clans there. Although that is perhaps more difficult than it sounds, as the Malfoys have fixed all their copies and buried the rest deep in unmarked graves. But, watching closely, the hair and general preening suggested quite clearly, accompanied by a certain slant to the jaw and elegance to the limbs, along with how the man could lure many a ministry official into agreements with seamless charm and smooth smiles, and also the way his handsome face will twist into something terrible in anger, his hands clenching like claws, flexing with half-remembered fire and talons. When Lucius Malfoy cares for the peacocks at Malfoy Manor, when nobody is watching, he will cluck and coo at them, and they will answer him. Vilas have their own origins, after all, in the avian set of magical creatures. On the other hand, while Narcissa is loyal to her husband, the Black family has their own hidden non-human origins. She is much more of a lurker than dear bloodthirsty Bella, waiting for the right moment to strike from the shadows, much like viciously protective Andromeda. They are more scavengers than predator, the younger two, though none the less cruel or dark, none the less protective of their nest. Narcissa is quiet, unlike the howls of vengeful Walburga, much like the silent judgment of cold Orion, or the creeping calculation of young Regulus. Entirely unlike the brash swipes and territorial snarls of Sirius, who is more familiar with lurking in shadows and striking for blood than he will ever be comfortable with. They are so similar, yet so different. What they are has many names. Boogeymen is one. They are the brothers and sisters of all the necromantic, and some of the demonic, too. And they come in so many kinds. Luna Lovegood is another simple puzzle. That she is practically made of thousands of clues is answer enough. That she can see things and creatures and the invisible sorts that most people can't is almost the only clue you'd need. Fae are a rather insular bunch, after all, and few have the sight to looking for the fair folk or the way their worlds weave together. But as for the little clues, well, the girl's heritage is in the vegetables in her ears, the odd-sounding sentences and introductions, and the used bottle caps around her throat. It's from the inverted reading of everything, to the visiting of thestrals in bare feet, with both an apple and a strip of flesh as offering. Little things. Odd things. But important things. There are certain safe ways of dealing with the world, you see. A certain way to go about doing things, like tossing salt over your shoulder if you spill it, never breaking a mirror, and not intruding on fairy forts for anything. Luck has to be worked for, and a smart fae follows traditions and pays attention when their ears burn. Listening to omens like owls and robins and black cats can save a life. Luna didn't know to be listening then. She regrets it now. And it's too faint to see, but when she skips, she hovers for a split second before she falls. Somewhere deep in Luna Lovegood, something is singing a half-remembered warble of wings made of gossamer and glass turned to flesh. Weasleys, on the other hand, are an interesting matter, especially with the introduction of the Pruitts. Weasleys come from a curious line of creature, literally quite curious, and, well, quite weasel-like in appearance, as opposed to the avian origins of Vila. But Pruitts? Pruitts were born of fire. Fire sprites, elementals, somewhere between nature spirit and demon, spiteful and fierce and warm and hot. One would need the right machinery to see it, but it can be felt perfectly fine when a child of Molly Weasley gets angry. The air around them gets quite warm, and they turn quite red, which clashes horribly with their hair, which is a sign in itself, really. Quite a temper fire has, if you poke it. For those who see it and are paying attention, Ginny Weasley's hair rises slightly when she's furious, and her tomato-red ears give off the faintest of sparks. Luna doesn't mention it, though, because it's not very polite to point out that sort of thing. She does, however, note with some interest that Ron's do the same after she meets him. Harry Potter, the infamous boy who lived, is a bit strange. He's hard to pin down, honestly. Almost impossible. When he flies, one might suspect something born of wind or something born with wings. When he fights, one might suspect something animalistic, something extremely loyal and fierce, and maybe a bit mean when provoked out of gentle contentment. Or maybe something powerful, something truly sorcerous, or maybe demonic. He hisses like a naga, he's got eyes between nymph and necromantic, and he acts sometimes elvish in demeanor. House elvish. It's hard to tell, honestly. Who knows? He certainly doesn't. Hermione Granger, while on the subject of the three friends, is actually incredibly obvious. That truly fearsome intelligence, that offensive temper, that righteous determination, that jealous pride, that cruel vindictiveness when crossed, that affinity for fire, that near hoarding of as much knowledge as she can reach. A tad insecure, but the young ones are always easily upset, and the kindness and crusading isn't at all a deal-breaker. Oh, wouldn't the so-called purebloods be surprised? But then again, many forget that fire hides under the earth. And the riddling, terribly clever kind of dragons aren't really around anymore. The rare few that remain, however, always tend to be such bookworms. Like the Mudblood Girls, Tom Marvolo Riddle's Naga heritage was well hidden. First behind his handsome non-magical father's face, then behind the mutations and corrupting magic of the Horcruxes. He shouldn't have tried to get rid of most of his muggleness when he resurrected himself, if he wanted to keep a human appearance. The faint scales on his skin and slits of his eyes are entirely his own fault. The ancient Naga blood wasn't enough to create something less unnatural and ill-suited to exist. Voldemort was always cold, wherever he went. Purity of magic and of witches and wizards, my friends, is such a laughable thing. Pure blood? Goodness gracious, what a joke. The end. If you enjoyed this podfic, please leave feedback for both myself and for the author. You can find this podfic at archiveofourown.org/users/opalsong. Thanks for listening!